I'd like you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And to the verse 45. The verse 45. A simple little statement by Elizabeth. I'd like you to read it with me, or ponder it with me. Luke 1:45. And blessed is she that believed. Blessed is she that believed. On this Christmas morning, the focus should be on our church nursery. In fact, I thought that this would be a very opportune time to ask ladies to sign up for nursery duty. Because after all, on this Christmas day, everything is about the birth of a baby. And if our Lord had been born amongst us here, we would be having him in the nursery. And what an honor it would be for any lady in our church to be looking after such an infant. So ladies, do consider the need. We do have open spots for ladies to help in the nursery in the days ahead. In this scene, we have two mothers to be in conversation. Both of them are over the moon about the future children that are to be born. Elizabeth is delighted because she is to have a child in her old age. And her child is to be a very special one because he is to be John the Baptist. What an honor that is. The younger is Mary, a mere teenage girl. Her baby, of course, is to be the Lord. And to Elizabeth's credit, she speaks all about Mary's baby and not her own. She sings the praises of Mary's baby. And that says a lot for Elizabeth, who, although an aged woman looking at a mere teenage girl, when so often a spirit of jealousy would have crept in and say, why her and not me? Why is she so highly favored and highly honored when I am to have but a natural child, although in old age? It is a great mark of grace when we can give honor where it's due at our own expense. And so when out of your heart you can praise another, it speaks well of your heart. Three times Elizabeth uses the word blessed. In this 45th verse, the third one is not about the baby that Mary is to have. It's not about the future, but rather it is Mary's faith. Read it again. And blessed is she that believed. The highest commendation that Elizabeth paid to Mary was here in this statement. She's commending her not because she is highly honored, chosen, not because she's important, not because of the child that she's to have, but because of her faith. And that brings us today to something extra important about the birth of our Lord Jesus. Without faith, Mary could never have been the instrument to bear the body of our Lord Jesus into the world. If she had not submitted herself and accepted and believed the word of the Lord and said, let it be unto me according to thy word, she could not become the mother of the Savior of the world. And so this matter of faith in Mary is the linchpin. It is pivotal. pivotal. It is the hinge upon which everything swings in Mary's life. If she was to go into doubt and unbelief and keep asking questions, she could not become the mother of our Lord. But as Elizabeth realized, blessed art thou, is she that believed. And this teaches us that faith in our Lord Jesus is what makes his birth a real blessing to us. And on this Christmas day, when many are excited about this event, you can only be blessed, you can only enter into the blessing of it by faith. And I want to use this statement of Elizabeth as a check on your faith. I want to ask, do you have the faith that young Mary had at this point? Or is Christmas to you merely tradition, wrapping, material things? Or do you have the faith of young Mary? I want to examine that with you today. Because that's what's going to make or break your interest in the birth of the Son of God. I want to take the five letters of the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, and examine this. The F is that your faith needs to be in the facts of Christ's birth. Faith is not built upon something that is nebulous or unmeasurable. Faith is built upon solid facts. And earlier in this chapter in Luke 1, as we learned last week, Mary was given the facts. Gabriel came to her and spoke to her line upon line how these things would be, as Mary asked. And she responded in faith to the facts of this birth. His name would be Jesus. He would be called the Son of God. She would be conceived by the Holy Ghost. And this would all happen without relations to a man. We call that the doctrine of the virgin birth. And Mary believed that stupendous fact. On Tuesday evening last, I was preaching down at Union Gospel Mission, and in the first meeting, there was a man about 30 years old sitting in the front row, and he was listening very well, but I could tell that he wasn't accepting very much of what was being preached. And I was explaining what the virgin birth meant. For a young girl to go home to her parents and say, I'm going to have a baby, but I've never had relations with a man. And just at that point, he stopped me and he said, you're looking me in the face and telling me this? And he says, you're good. You're a real salesman. And I said to him, what age are you? He didn't answer me. I asked him, is this the first time that you've heard this? Is this the first time that you've really grasped the meaning of the virgin birth? Didn't answer me. And I said to him, where have you been? You've lived all your life. How many Christmases have there been? And you've never grasped the stupendous miracle of a young woman conceiving without relations with a man, and the child would be called the Son of God. But Mary believed the facts. And of course it proved to be true. And yet there are many who get all excited about the Christmas tradition with the nativity scene and it's all, and they look into that little crib and they say, ooh and ah. But do they believe that our Lord Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by a miracle? Many don't. Indeed, there are many churches and there are many preachers, and they may even have a nativity scene in their church, and they don't believe the cardinal biblical doctrine of the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus. Unbelief. And to them, Christmas is just a tradition. And so if the birth of the Lord Jesus is to mean reality in your life, you must believe the facts as they are revealed in the Word of God. And as they were fulfilled in the life and person of the Lord Jesus, because the supernatural person who performed the miracles that he performed demands a supernatural beginning. If he was God in the flesh when he changed the bread to feed a 5,000, multiplied the bread, was he not God in the flesh when he came forth from Mary's womb? Or at what stage did he become God in the flesh? A day old, a week old, a month old, a year old, 10 days old? If he was God in the flesh through his life, is it not reasonable that he was God in the flesh from the womb? According to the Scripture, he would be conceived by the Holy Ghost. So believe the facts. That's the first thing. Then the second one is the A is for your adoration of your Lord, your God, and your Savior. And you'll notice how Mary uses all these three titles of our Lord. Verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's the first title. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God." That's the second title. "And my Savior." That's the third title. And this is her adoration. And faith always has within it adoration. The bowing down to adore out of devotion and love the one in whom you put your faith. It is not some family tree discovery that you are related to a lost great uncle whom you know nothing about apart from a lawyer's letter that you've been included somehow in his will. Could you imagine the excitement of that? If you were to get a lawyer's letter in the mail and said there's someone on your family tree has included you in his will. That would be as cold and clinical as the lawyer's office itself. Oh, you might get $1,000 out of it and you might get $1,000,000 out of it. But there'd be no love in it. For you don't even know the person who is giving it. You have no interest in the person who's giving it. All you know that he is some relation somewhere in the family tree. But faith, the Scripture tells us in the book of Galatians that faith worketh by love. Never forget that. This is not mere legal relationship. This is personal relationship with the Lord. And Mary was deeply affected in her soul by the power of this work of grace when she so adored, she wanted to magnify her Lord. She wanted to exalt him. She wanted to delight in him. And in the midst of that adoration, you'll see too how Mary humbled herself. In verse 48, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She put herself low as a nobody and exalted her Lord. That's faith. That's the work of grace in your soul. And that is another method to check. If you do have an interest in the Son of God, and if his birth has really transformed your life, do you have this devotion to the Lord Have you humbled yourself from being number one? And have you made the Lord Jesus number one in your life? That's the adoration. Then comes the eye for interest in the infant. As yet, I want to point out in verse 45, as yet there was no evidence of an infant. And I want you to notice that Elizabeth spoke in future terms. After the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and said, "You're going to have a child," immediately she ran to the hill country of Judea, entered into the home of Elizabeth. Now, it was Elizabeth's child that leapt in her womb. There's no evidence of a child yet in Mary's womb. And Elizabeth said, "There shall be a performance of these things." So there was no physical evidence to Mary nor Elizabeth that Mary was yet with child. There was not sufficient time by natural growth of the child in her womb for her to be showing evidence that she was expecting a baby. And so when Elizabeth was saying this, she was speaking by faith. Elizabeth was speaking by faith. And Mary was accepting it by faith. But the interest was in the child. And she said, "Blessed be the fruit of thy womb." And for Mary, Christ was to be born of her, but her faith was in this child as her Savior. Now, of course, when that child was born, Mary loved that little baby boy as any young mother would. There was that young motherly devotion and delight in caring, nursing, feeding, loving and delighting in that little baby. But it was more than that. It was Mary's faith in the Lord Jesus. We are told in verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And to Mary, that little child was the object of her faith. And that little child was the official of her faith. Let me explain those two things. When Mary looked, when our Lord was born, Mary looked upon that babe. She didn't just see a cute little child. She saw by faith the express image of the Father. She saw the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him. And also, she looked upon him in his offices as Redeemer, Prophet, Priest, King. She called him Lord, Savior, God. That's true faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's all the difference between walking down the mall, looking into a little crib in a nativity scene and going, "Ooh, ah, beautiful little scene," and being converted and knowing that your sins are pardoned by the death and the blood of Jesus as your sin bearer. That's the interest that you must have in the Lord Jesus if you're to be saved, if you are to be redeemed. Then we come to the T of faith, the endless thanksgiving. Verse 48 to 54, there are 10 things listed for which Mary gives thanks. 10 big things. She starts out with, "He regarded my low estate." You notice the word "for." In verse 47, she bursts out into praise. And then in verse 48, she gives the reasons for her praise. And those verses, they just string them out. All 10 reasons are given. You see, grace begins a life of praise in the believer's heart. When you're saved and you're redeemed, there's a new song, a new spirit of thankfulness. And faith leads to unceasing praise and rejoicing. We're to in all things give thanks. Do you have that faith? Do you have a spirit of praise for God's unspeakable gift? Do you waken up in the morning rejoicing? Now, I know we can all have a headache. We can all stub our toe and jump around and hop around in agony and pain for a while, and I don't expect you to be grinning from ear to ear while you're suffering pain. And yes, there are afflictions that sometimes endure through difficult periods of our lives. But I have met God's people, and even through the hardships, they will say, I thank God, even for the pain. Because the Lord has come to me and met with me in my difficulties, as He has not come to me before. There are people that have had serious reversals in life and upsets in life, and they're not bitter, but they bless the hand that deals the circumstances in which they live. That's grace. That's the spirit of thanksgiving in all things. That's the mark of a new convert. If you're living in a life of misery and bitterness, with a chip on your shoulder that the world owes you, and that you're the one that's being hard done by, let me tell you, that's the fruit of sin. That's the misery of pride and egotism and selfishness. Me, myself, and I. Mary was given a spirit of thanksgiving. And I could preach a whole sermon, probably a couple of sermons, on these 10 things. The Lord came in mercy to Israel to give a Savior, the one that was promised to Abram. You'll notice in verse 55 that Abram is mentioned. The mercies that were promised to Abram were fulfilled in Mary's womb. God is merciful in giving His Son. The fifth is a holy hope. Your faith must inspire you a holy hope. I'll bring you to verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. This faith that saves the soul and brings the birth of the Lord Jesus into a right place in our lives is permeated with the very spirit of holiness. It is that spirit of God implanted in the soul which craves to be like the Lord. There's no doubt that Mary had that. And those who woke up this morning with a hangover from their drunken parties, to them today the world is empty and unholy. They have drunken of the cisterns of the flesh. They have sought to gratify the very lusts of the flesh. They know nothing about this holy hope. They have turned the birth of the Lord Jesus into another excuse to sin. And thus their souls are empty. Let me ask you today, is your soul empty? On this day when the world is flat out to be excited, you are anything but excited. And you see the vanity and the emptiness of it all. And perhaps there is that despair that sets in. Things don't satisfy. Money doesn't satisfy. Drink doesn't satisfy. What the world has offered you, and you've tasted a good portion of it, it doesn't satisfy the soul. Why? Because our Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. the empty soul. If you look at verse 53, you'll notice how Mary put it. He hath filled the hungry with good things. There's a hunger in the souls of lost men. That hunger is the hopelessness that many go through. It can be broken homes, broken marriages, broken hearts. A world that is under condemnation, guilt, a rasping conscience. A world that's doomed to hell. A world that offers no hope. And many just take their lives and end it all. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. This world is so filled with despair and emptiness. But you can't end it all. Let me warn you about this. You can't end it all. The Lord Jesus said, fear not him that will kill the body only, but fear him that will kill body and soul. And you can take your body's life, but you have a soul that will live for all eternity. And ending your life in this world is not the end of your misery. And if you're not saved and not converted, it is only the beginning of eternal wrath and misery. The only hope is the Lord Jesus that came into the world to save sinners. Verse 54, it says, he hath holpen his servant Israel. He's the answer to the guilt of sin. He's the answer to the troubled breast. He's the answer to the one who's made a mess of his life. Why? Because God's Son is the remedy to the curse. God's Son is the medicine to the disease of sin. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son to give you life in the midst of death, spiritual death. The graveyard of this world, our Lord Jesus came into it to give you eternal life. But it's only received by faith. And I come back to what Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed is she that believed. And there's two kinds of people in this church service today. Those who are believers, they bow the knee, accept the facts of the gospel. They adore the Lord Jesus. They take their interest in the Son of God. They thank God for the Savior whom he sent. And they take hope in eternity through Christ. But there are those who do not believe. And Christ may never have come for them. Because you deny it. You deny the facts. You will not bow the knee to adore and worship him. You have no real interest in the Son of God. You've never really got down and said, Father, I thank you for the Son whom you've sent into the world for me. Make it personal. For me. Therefore, as an unbeliever, you have no hope. Oh, you may have hopes and dreams, but they're not holy hopes. They're unholy hopes. They're hopes of the world and hopes of money and hopes of pleasure and hopes of man-made castle-like dreams. But what Mary had was a holy hope. That's what our Lord Jesus gives to your heart today. You'll trust him. And on this Christmas day, what a gift. Beyond anything money could buy, beyond anything that man could give, to receive God's unspeakable gift into your heart. And like Mary, be blessed. And there came a time when Mary stood around the cross and she watched her son die for her. And while she wept as a mother, she also looked upon her Savior. You can do that today. Believe. 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 Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to have any part in the kingdom of God any part in God's Son, any part in God's grace without believing. And so these words of Elizabeth are so important. Blessed is she that believed. That's what made Mary the mother of the Savior of the world and saved her own soul. I trust you be saved today. Please, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved today, look into these things. Consider these things with all your heart. And if I can help you, I certainly will. Feel free to speak to me today or any time. I'll be glad to show you further God's way of so great salvation.